Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful to be here, and Lord, we're so thankful for Jesus and all that He's done for each and every one of us. We're thankful for these children and Lord, their parents that bring them faithfully week after week. Lord, I pray that You'd bless this time now, that as we study Your Word, that You would speak to each one of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I think this is my 13th Christmas, and I was thinking about it, and in years past, you know, I try to find some new insight, something, you know, to bring to y'all for Christmas, and it not just be the normal Christmas message. And we've talked about Joseph and what he went through, and the faith and trust to believe that the person that he was going to marry had been faithful, and Mary and her willingness to say, "Thy will be done, Father," and willingness to submit when she could have been stoned, she could have been put out, all these different things, and just how God's plan worked in so many lives. And I was thinking this year, Lord, what do You want me to talk about? What do You want me to say? And I think this morning we're just going to read the Christmas story and talk more about Jesus, okay? And so I hope that's okay with y'all. There's not some new profound insight or anything else this morning, but I think sometimes in Christmas we get caught up in gifts and presents and lights and trees and Santa and somehow in all of that, sometimes Jesus gets lost, and that's why we're all here, is because of Jesus, and that's why we celebrate this time of year. It's because of Jesus. So if you would, open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it says, "In those days Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Cornelius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he was pledged to the house he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." When we read this, it just seems very just a story that many of us have heard for years and years, just a story like any other story. But all that had to take place to get Jesus where he was supposed to be born, and how this was the beginning of fulfilling prophecy. I heard once that for all the prophecy that led up to Jesus' birth and all the prophecy that Jesus fulfilled, that it would be like the state of Texas being filled with silver dollars, and I think I heard 3 foot deep silver dollars, and you to be flying in a helicopter and bungee jump out and pick up a silver dollar with a red mark on it out of the whole state of Texas and pull that one silver dollar up, and that would be like what it would be for Jesus to fulfill all these prophecies. It had to be God. It had to be God, and even Him being in this town to be born, and where He was born at, in a manger. This was not something that was, you know, in the Christmas cards and everything else, it shows this beautiful scenery and everything else. Y'all, this was a stable, and if any of you have had a barn or anything, you know, with livestock in it and everything, it's not the most sanitary place. It's not some beautiful, you know, picturesque place. It was probably dirty and maybe even stinky, and this was where our Savior would be born. Verse 8, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. A Savior has been born to you. That Savior that was born for them, and He was born for us today. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." Now, I don't know about y'all, but I think sometimes we become too dignified in church. You know, with our songs and everything, and we're just so, you know, the Christmas carols are great, and you know, but when was the last time we got excited about Jesus coming? About the Jesus has come? I can imagine, glory to God in the highest. They're not going, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all who His favor rests. No, I believe that they were excited in church. We need to be excited today, not because of Christmas presents, not because our Christmas trees, not because of the beautiful lights or the big meal that we're going to get or all the good food we're going to eat. But we need to be excited because Jesus came. Our Savior was born. Verse 15, when the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Have you guys ever had the Lord whisper something to you? The Holy Spirit whisper something to you? And then, when you knew it was God, you got excited. I've told this story before, but some of y'all's guessed and you had never heard it, but I was at work one day, and this was probably 10 years ago, and we have these trailers, and the landing gear on them is kind of off, and there's the way the trailers were designed, so they have a front pole that comes down in the front of the trailer, and you put a pin in it, and it keeps the trailer from tipping over. It's a nose stand, okay? And one day, I was outside, and I was trying to take up the nose stand to hook up to this trailer. And I could not get that pin to come out. And, oh, it was driving me crazy. Sometimes they get in a bind, and I was hitting on it, knocking on it, doing everything I could. And I kept feeling like the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, "Pete, stop. Stop." And I'm like, "Stop! I gotta get this trailer going. I gotta get on the road. I gotta go deliver." And I just kept feeling in my spirit the Lord saying, "You better stop, Pete." I got the hammer out of my truck and I hit that pin and it went flying about halfway out and it kinked up like this and I'm just messing with it. And it wasn't audible, but it was almost audible. The Lord said, "Stop right now, Pete." So I stopped. And I walked around to the back of the trailer and I thought, you know, what am I going to do? And y'all, I seen those back wheels off the ground about that far on that trailer. There was so much weight on that front. And if I'd have got that pin out, you know what would have happened? That trailer would have come right over on me and killed me. And y'all, it didn't scare me, but I got so excited that I heard the Holy Spirit speaking to me saying, "Stop, Pete, stop." And I was like, "Woo! The Lord, I heard Him. I heard Him." You guys might say, "Pete, you're crazy." I know without a doubt that was the Holy Spirit warning me saying, "Pete, you better stop." And I ended up having to, I made it. I had to get forklifts and lift up and all this stuff. But I didn't get killed. Okay? That was the whole point. I didn't get killed. And y'all, there's times that's just one incident that had a major impact on me because I was so excited that I heard from the Lord. And y'all, these shepherds out in the field, it said that they were praising God. They were rejoicing because all the things they had heard, that they had been told, they'd just seen.
that they realized they were spoke truth. Y'all, we need to grab hold of truth. And when we know the Holy Spirit speaking to us, when we know that God is speaking to us, we need to grab hold of that with everything that we are. When God's revealing things to us in His Word, in a sermon, and we hold on to it and get excited that the Lord is speaking to you this morning, that He's speaking to me this morning. You know, the last several weeks, we've been talking about God has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of our lives. And when God gives you that purpose, when God gives you that plan, you need to hold on to it with everything that's in you and know that God's given you something to live and to do and to work and to serve Him in. And these shepherds, they were so excited and they were praising God. Have you praised God lately? I mean, really praise God? I don't mean dancing, running around. If that's what God has you do, then so be it. But maybe just at home and sitting there in the quiet and just begin to thank God. For your family, for your friends, for your health, for whatever God's given you. When was the last time you just began to thank God and praise God? And if you're like me, a lot of times when I praise God, it isn't the running around excitement. It's more of a humbleness and a gratefulness that'll bring tears to my eyes of how awesome God has been to me. And just to praise Him and thank Him. Verse 21, on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise Him, He was named Jesus, the name the angel had given Him before He had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took Him to Jerusalem to present Him to the Lord. As it is written, in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own souls too. Here was a man that the Lord had spoken to. That you're not going to die till you see the Christ, till you see the Savior come. And the Lord had whispered, come out and see. And when He came out, here was Jesus. Here was Mary and Joseph with Jesus. And he seen and He says, now I can go in peace. God, Jesus was fulfilling so many prophecies, so much right here. There should never be any doubt. And if there's any doubt on who Jesus is, I challenge you to open up the Bible and begin to research it. Begin to research it out and you will see that Jesus is who He claimed to be. Now, this was no ordinary child, no ordinary birth. And why would God send His Son Jesus to this earth? Why would He do it? Well, John 3:16-17 says, For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. I want you to think about how much God must love you this morning. How much God must care about you this morning that He sent His Son here for you and for me. You think about these precious children up here singing earlier and how dear
to our hearts they are, and especially to their parents and grandparents, and how wonderful they are. And you think, could you send one of your children off to die for others? To be a sacrifice for others? That's how much God loved us, and that's how much God cares about you this morning. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned. Revelation 21:27 says, "Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." God is so pure, and heaven is so great that sin can't enter. Sin can never enter in. So we look at the baby Jesus being born, and we think of what a precious child that was, and He was fulfilling all these prophecies, but Jesus was born with a purpose. And His purpose was for you and for me, because we have all sinned. We've all fallen short. And nothing evil, nothing full of sin can ever enter into God's presence. Hebrews 9:22. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. I didn't want to read the whole chapter, but I challenge you, if you don't understand what's going on here, to read the whole chapter of chapter 9. But there can be no forgiveness of sins without shedding of blood. Verse 23, "It was necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these sacrifices, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did He enter heaven to offer Himself in again and again, the way the high priest entered the most holy place every year with blood that is not His own. Then Christ would have to suffer many times since the creation of the world, but now He has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by sacrifice of Himself. Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face the judgment, so Christ was crucified once to take away the sins of many people. And He will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for Him." Jesus Christ became the sacrifice for you and for me. And we celebrate the baby, Jesus, being born. But then we understand that He came with a purpose, and His purpose was for redemption for those that are lost, those that have sinned, which we fit that category, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And He came to make a sacrifice once for all, not year after year. And I didn't want to get into all the Old Testament and everything. Read Hebrews 9 if you don't understand. Go back to the Old Testament and what the priest had to do. And think of Exodus and the Passover, and they had to put the blood over the door frames of their house to keep the death angel from coming and destroying them. And now Jesus' blood has come for you and for me. Go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase?" I wanted to read this, y'all, because I think that sometimes we read John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believeth Him shall not perish but have eternal life." And we think and we preach and we hear so much on how much God loves us, and He does. And we hear so much on God's forgiveness, and He has forgiven us. And we hear so much about what Jesus has done for us. And all those things are true. But I think that sometimes we
we can get this false sense that, well, I can just go on with my life the way that it is then, and Jesus' blood covers it. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means! And that's with an exclamation point. By no means! We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Y'all, what Jesus did for you and for me, the sacrifice that He made, it was not done lightly. It was not done easily. It was a price paid. And it was not paid so that we can go on sinning. It was paid so that we can be free from sin. Verse 3, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Some of you, you may have got saved when you were little bitty. I've heard of people 3-4 years old understanding and knowing who Jesus is and the price that was paid for their sins. Some of you may be more like me, early 20s. Some of you may not be saved this morning and you think, well, I just always went to church. It ain't about always going to church. It ain't about if you were out on the street and you were a drug addict or a prostitute or that you've been kind of morally upright, but it's about a new life. And has there been a point in your life that you recognized Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And then there was a new life. There was something new about you. Y'all have heard my testimony. When I was a teenager and I was doing all this stupid stuff and partying and drinking and doing all these stupid things, and I would come home every night and I had just enough religion to say, God, please forgive me. Why? Just because I didn't want to go to hell. But I knew I was going to try and get some beer or whatever for next week and do the exact same thing over. But then, it's like when that moment that I realized that I was lost and I was headed for hell, and I knelt down at home in my bedroom and I wept and I cried and I said, Jesus, forgive me. And y'all, something inside of me changed. And no longer did I just want to ask for forgiveness so I could do some more wrong. No, I wanted to ask for forgiveness and not do it anymore. Because something new was inside of me. And that's the sacrifice that was made for you and for me, that we can have a new life. Verse 5 says, if we have been united with Him like this in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. You know, a couple Sunday nights ago, we talked about heaven. We talked about dying and going to heaven. And I just, the older you get, the more you think about it. But y'all, there's something now. There's something for each and every one of us that's waiting. And it's a resurrection with Jesus Christ. Verse 6 says, for we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Are you still a slave to sin this morning? The baby Jesus that we're celebrating, he grew up. And He died on a cross for you and for me so that we no longer have to be a slave to sin. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness, for sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. And if you look up grace there, it's because you're under the divine influence of God. Now, we're no longer should be submitting our bodies to sin. We have a new life. The sacrifice that was made. And we celebrate Jesus. Hopefully you're celebrating Jesus this Christmas. Hopefully it's not just the Christmas tree and the gifts and the getting together with family. All those things are great. But we understand that Jesus came to this earth for you and for me. And that should be the whole focus. And that we can now be dead to sin and alive in Christ. That we can have a new life. And we no longer have to be the people that we once were. I hope this Christmas, this week, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you will do it. We're not promised tomorrow. This week, I saw two people, one 17 and one early 30s, both died this past week. Just like that, they're gone. Y'all, we're not promised tomorrow. We need to get it settled today and not just talk about Santa Claus and not just talk about presents, but talk about Jesus and who He is and who He is to you, most importantly. Who He is to you personally. Have you accepted Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior? Do you have that personal relationship with Him now? Is there a point in your life that your life began new? That your life changed? That your life became different? That you no longer wanted to be the person that you once were? Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word this morning. Lord, I pray that You would be doing a work in each and every one of our lives and each and every one of our hearts. Father, that if there's any here that don't know You as their personal Savior, if there's any here that maybe have doubts, that right now they would confess their sins, that they would ask for forgiveness, that they would accept You as their Lord. Father, that their lives would be changed from this moment on, that they would have a new life. Lord, that they would be having that relationship with You, that intimate relationship with You, Father. And Lord, that for each and every one of us that are Your children, Father, I pray this week as we're celebrating, as we're with family, as we're with friends, Lord, that people would see You in our lives. That they would see the reality that our lives have changed, that we're no longer the people that we once were, but that we would demonstrate how You've come in and You've transformed us. Lord, we know that it's only by the drawing of Your Holy Spirit that anyone can be saved, that anybody can be transformed. And right now I pray that Your Holy Spirit would be going out. If there's anyone in here, Lord, that does not know You as their personal Savior, that You would have Your way right now in their heart and their mind. That they would understand that You died for them. That You came to this earth. Lord, that You lived the life of a man to show us all how to live. And that You died on that cross to cover our sins, to change our lives. Father, have Your way now in Jesus' mighty name. Y'all, the altars are open. If you need prayer for anything this morning, prayer for you, prayer for family members, prayer for somebody that you're going to encounter this week at the Christmas holidays, whatever it is, the altars are open. And don't miss this opportunity. Well, I hope y'all have a Merry Christmas this week. Remember, no services tonight or Wednesday night. Next Sunday, we will have our Sunday school and our normal Sunday morning service. And so y'all have a great week. God bless you.